We do stop them, so we get a little bit of the room.
So what was that you cut out there briefly?
Oh, excuse me.
You got bubbly.
We're doing it to get the remainder of gold they have on hand at the time. We're not doing it because we're just altruists.
Of course, of course.
This gold belongs to the people, and by the people I of course mean me.
We use your business savvy to track them down and ghost powers to communicate and beat the shit out of them.
All right, you have ghost powers. I forgot.
Just enough to interact with ghosts, yeah.
Just enough that you can literally punch a ghost.
What's your character name again?
Her superpower name is... I never learned how to pronounce that, but... Vajra... Yeah, the light, Sanskrit for lightning bolt. One sec. I need to look how to pronounce that.
Oh yeah, I don't know how to.
Although your character apparently does have the ability to piss off ghosts.
Hey ghost. Hey ghost. Guess what? Hi. Also, anytime someone talks to ghosts, that always reminds me of, I can't remember the guy's name. It was a British guy that I played with once in a Monster and the Childish Things game. He was playing a monstrous MMA fighter that he was trying to distract an evil ghost by posing. And I remember the thing that he wrote for it was, "Yo, ghost, check out my nips."
Excellent. Excellent.
Like, I can't remember that guy's name. I think his Steam name is I Have No Mouth and I Must Lol.
I have no texting plan, but I must lol. And apparently it's pronounced Vajra.
Vajra? Okay. Vajra. Sounds good. All right. There is no other name to this character than Business Mantis. That is his name.
Well, that's because that's all he is.
I do one thing and I do it well.
Say your name, gender, and occupation.
Lizard Man.
What is that from?
You know, I don't honestly know. I think I remember it from... I know it came before this, but I remember it from Soul Calibur.
You know, I'm just...
In it was like Soul Calibur 2 or 3. They had like profiles for characters.
Right, yes.
That was 2. Okay, and the profile for Lizard Man had his first name as Lizard Man, last name as Lizard Man, and occupation as Lizard Man.
That was 2, definitely. Also, I'm just imagining Business Mantis with like a fake beard on, just people coming up to him is like, "Business Mantis, the world needs you. I'm out of that game. I don't do business anymore."
Business Mantis by day. Business Mantis by night.
Mantis business by night.
50% nice. Business Mantis, 50% Business Mantis, 100% Business Mantis.
Did this man is 25 hours a day?
25-8.
He hires someone else to be the other hour. I didn't realize when I started how goofy the setting was.
I mean, it can go either way. It's like Monster and the Childish Things.
Yeah. I mean, like...
It's possible to run... Like, there is a setting that is... that they described as being like The Sopranos or Breaking Bad. Or there's a this is underneath the this is either under Cape Crusaders anew or like professional base raiders as the campaign type.
So like, I mean, the first character I made, the one that I'll actually play in a campaign, whenever we do that, is actually a serious character. I can pull her up real quick, actually.
I linked her to Kevin at some point. Showing off what the kind of characters were. Because I also thought it was going to be the character you were playing in this originally. So I linked that to him as like, Nate's got a guy.
Yeah. No, this is the character I have for like a campaign setting. Adjusted for low power.
Yeah, you'd probably have to make them again, because if you want to do origin story, there's special origin story rules.
Yeah, I can do that.
And also, one of the things is, like, I'd have to know who all's playing in that, what all they want to do, because if we're doing empowerment now, that's a very character-focused thing, and so I'd have to know things about people to write stuff. That said, if we did empowerment now, I have an idea for what the first session would be.
Yeah.
Or what the first couple of sessions would be.
But yeah, anyway, like, that character, like, got like, unwittingly possessed by an alien parasite that gives her power through manifested rage and emotional instability.
Women, right? Hey, Axe showed up. Cool.
Oh my!
I just had to make a really sexist joke, and he would appear.
Yeah, I guess you did. I guess you did.
Now I'll devour it in tribute.
All hail Axe! All right, so everybody else has made and posted their characters. Axe, you made yours like a week ago.
Yeah, I still have a crossover aspect.
Well, I guess you get that with Kevin.
This is probably not going to work out.
Why's that?
Because he's a living punk rock god, right? Is that what I got?
He's like a punk rock.
No,
he's a punk rock banshee.
Okay.
You're like a very strange version of the Odd Couple.
Wait, run that one by me.
I'm trying to remember if that was. I think that was one of the Odd Couple parodies that happened at some point. One's an accountant. One's a punk rock banshee. One likes to keep things clean. The other one doesn't give a shit. Okay. So yeah, once you guys have that worked out, we can get this kicked off.
I will be right back. Won't be long.
Okay. Axe, is there any time you have to be done tonight? Or anything you need to do tomorrow? Okay, cool.
No. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Nate.
Just listening to...
Did you make the new coffee that we bought?
Yes, I did. It's super delicious. Do you like it? Yeah, want to taste?
No.
No? Mm-mm. Why not?
Because
why?
I don't like coffee.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's worth a sip, though. It's real good.
All right, I have to read the final thing here. There's one thing in this I didn't do when I did when I first ran this.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing just great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boop.
Why are you doing that?
Boop, boop.
Why are you doing that?
I got a hair that's going like all the way out here.
Don't do that.
I'm gonna try to put it back with him. Let's get stapler.
So I mean,
don't do that, please. That will be painful.
Yes. Are you not in a game?
I haven't started yet.
Okay. I do not know where Sam is.
Yeah, it's like 3 till. 3 till he'd be starting a thing.
It is mildly concerning.
Mildly, yes.
How's it going, Chris?
You're not muted at all.
Sorry? I don't know, I'm not muted.
Okay. Are
you mad?
Nah.
Can you hear me?
That's good. I totally forgot to mute, and then I was just like, yeah, whatever.
Does that mean they can hear me?
It's not unusual, what? Alright, I'm mute.
How'd you like that? How'd you like all that?
All what?
You want some of my Kool-Aid?
What's this now?
I can't remember the name of the guy. I just started singing It's Not Unusual. And then I came back and realized my mic wasn't muted.
Oh, I could still barely hear you anyway. I just heard in the background.
What the fuck's that guy's name?
I don't know.
I want to call him Tom Waits, but I know it's not fucking Tom Waits.
What about Tom Waits?
Also, I like that What's New Pussycat joke comes up before What's New Pussycat, the actual song. Tom Jones. Tom Jones is the name.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. How did you confuse those two?
Because they're both named Tom. All right, so everybody here? Everybody ready? I should grab that fudge dice.
Nate
thing.
Is muted at the moment because I think
no,
he's
No, I'm not. Well, I'm not.
Okay, you were.
I muted for a moment, and then I came back.
All right, then I guess everyone's okay.
Let me grab the fudge dice thing, which I know I bookmarked.
Axe, do you want to see this stupid character?
I mean, you're going to be playing with him soon enough. All right, so here's the fudge thing. All right, I'm going to put a thing in the other chat. What is F&M?
What?
I don't know.
Friday Night Magic.
Fuck, I thought he was doing that next week. Alright, well.
I don't know, I just know that's what
F&M Okay, that's
is.
Probably what it is then, yeah.
What is it?
He's out at Friday Night Magic, that's where he went.
He's on his way.
Oh, okay.
Nobody seems to mind, let me see. I'm gonna send.
He's on his way, according to Amanda.
I sent him a message back so that he doesn't freak out.
So I never heard what kind of character you're playing, Kevin.
Kevin actually BRB'd just now.
He put his character sheet in the it's posted at 9:35. He's playing a super soldier archetype. Specifically the character has a drug gland that pumps him full of a Ritalin-like drug that makes him hyper-focused on shit. Now, this seems like it'll probably go pretty fast. The last time I did it, I had people with, last time, because you guys have, some skills that are pretty well tailored to this. The only thing that would get in the way is that two of you are very obviously not human. Although I think although I think Axe can, well, your character can appear human, right?
I have Lammer's a superhuman, yeah. Like,
yeah, so you can
walk
you
around
can,
among mundanes.
So you can stop looking like a banshee whenever you feel like. So the only one who's going to be majorly hindered in this is Business Mantis, who is literally a man-sized mantis with a suit.
Yep.
Yeah, because disguise by itself without like any unusuals or anything is just yourself, right?
Let me look at the trapping. I actually have that up because I was helping people make characters earlier. Disguise starts with a D. Disguise. With skill to disguise trapping lets the character appear to be someone other than themselves. This requires an opposed roll to penetrate the disguise. If you had an extraordinary tier, when disguised as someone else, you gain an additional aspect to represent the veracity of your performance. If the disguise isn't of anyone, for example, a policeman or a tradesman or a crowd, you may choose a particular aspect that might be obvious to a casual onlooker. At superhuman tier, as extraordinary tier, except you gain twice as many aspects. At Ascendant tier, 3 aspects. Godlike, 4. So you just keep stacking on aspects to represent how good you're doing at it, I guess.
But it's limited to you, though, I guess.
Unless you took disguise plus zone.
Or range.
Yeah.
Like it mentioned, illusions were a thing you could do with unusual plus range plus disguise.
Yeah, true. I guess, yeah, disguise plus unusual would also be the other important thing there.
Oh, then I need 2 points then, so, yeah. I'm not going to bother rejiggering around.
Okay. All right, so... So what does
a punk rock banshee even look like? Or is it just... Or is it... That picture that I linked the other day, plus more clothes.
That with plus more clothes. Like, she's obviously dead, but other than that, and very long hair, because banshee.
Right.
Okay, I also need to pull up Drive, because there's some stuff that's important in here. Okay, so everybody got the roller up. Everybody back. Everybody be smiling. Everybody be dancing. Is everybody Ted dancing? This is important.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm still me, so no.
What's the right answer?
Yes.
Just how do you adjust the tiers on here? Or do you not?
So you don't treat the tier. What you do is that it has, you notice in the bottom, it says other roles and it has 1DF, 2DF, 3DF. And then below that, it says 1D6, 2D6, 3D6.
Yeah, I would just look at those.
For opposed tiers, just do that.
Okay.
All right. Or we could go with the easy way and say you roll 4 fudge dice and you add 2 for every tier you're above something.
It's up to you, bro.
Alright. I kind of want to try the other one, so I'm going to try the other one.
Yeah. Alright.
Okay.
So the one where it's a flat number?
No.
The one where it does dice.
The one where you add extra d6s, because all the rest of the times I've done, you just add plus 2 for everything.
Okay, I was just making sure which one
you... I think mathematically it's closer to 3 per power tier difference, or
yeah,
3.5,
but the thing that it says if you do power tier differences, you should do 2. That's the thing that's written somewhere in Fudge or Fate or something. I read it a long time ago. You wouldn't know. It's in Canada. It's a very special lady.
You know, you're right. I really don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, like +3 would make more sense for that kind of thing, because that's the mean you're going to get on a d6, basically. Kinda. All right. So everybody's ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, but how do you wait? Sorry, you roll. What are we rolling when we roll?
So when you roll normally, it's the 4 fudge dice. For every tier above a certain challenge you are, instead of rolling a fudge die, you replace one of your fudge dice with d6s.
Okay.
And is that only for contested ones? Because
that's only for contested ones. However, if you're like ascended, if you're like an ascendant tier lockpick, I'm not going to like call for a roll for you to, you know, break into somebody's house.
Yeah, yeah. Unless that house is actually hyperdimensional.
Yeah, unless that house is actually a vault.
Haha, you thought this was just a house, but it's actually a vault.
Why did you break into my sleeping vault?
Please, please, sir, leave my eating vault.
I have too many croissants in there to count.
What the fuck are you guys on about? Alright, I'm starting this shit. So as we pass from one part of the adventure into the other, I'd like to take a quick break. Or if people are getting tired, we could try and end it here. I don't know what people's opinions are.
Let's see. I honestly don't need to be going to sleep, but like I don't need to be like seriously for realsies heading to bed until like 4.
Right.
Or 5.
Axe, Kevin, Max.
So
I'm totally good.
Getting
things that character has skills at.
Yeah, I'm probably okay. Like Nate, I don't want to be up till dawn with this.
Yeah,
but,
no, I'd probably find a point to end it somewhere in like the next, I don't know, somewhere in the next 45 to an hour.
Okay, sounds good.
I
would also like some time to chat with Axe, as he and I are in a call right now. We were going to at some point sit down and chat about Monster Heart stuff.
Okay. One of the things I was going to say is during the break, since we're kind of transitioning from the one scenario to the other, and this is a playtest, if you guys have any particular feedback on how this section has gone so far.
I think it's good. I mean, I'm sure it's hard to plan a scenario given the wide variety of players you're going to have.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really the thing, is that, like, and it's funny because I didn't even consider her using her powers like this, because I didn't consider using them in tandem, like being able to move both quickly and invisibly and or incorporeally. Like, I didn't even think about that combination. So,
yeah, no, your character is a boss at investigation, or at least at staking things out.
Kind of passively, because, like, I on purpose didn't give her much alertness.
Right, yeah, that's her only downside. She could go in there and look around, but damn if she's gonna find
it. Because she's kind of dumb.
Yeah, no, it's just one of these. It's one of these things that is specific to the scenario that actually made it really helpful. And I don't know if I was like really trying to like push you guys to like, yeah, check the apartment, because honestly, it does not account for, it just says that Lucas gets there by teleporting from his basement.
Yeah.
Normally people wouldn't be able to get in there because you don't usually have the triple threat of, goes through, or you don't usually have the double threat of goes through walls and is invisible.
So I know at least part of what comes next. But having been in that first playtest with Ross Payton, I almost wish this part were longer. Because this part feels like it kind of ends as soon as we figure out that he is teleporting into the ocean.
Yeah, I mean, probably that wasn't helped by how you guys are, like, incredibly high power tier. Like, it does have some stuff to scale up Lucas's powers accordingly. But yeah, it's sort of a street-level adventure.
Yeah, but I mean, you can still do a street level adventure with high power characters. You're just going to chump all of your foes, which would be kind of rad given what comes next. So yeah, I would actually almost wish this one were longer. This part were longer, because this part feels like the like incredibly short compared to the next part of the adventure.
Well, what do you think is the next? Because I mean, I was told this was a boiling point, and I did listen to the thing. It seems like it's kind of approaching it from a different angle, which is cool.
Yeah. Now the way that, if you listen to our game of it, and if you listen to RPPR's game, they all approach it from different angles than the scenario approaches it from.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like this angle a lot. Actually, this angle is a lot less. This angle is a lot less. You're being given the opportunity to find a base by a former henchman / etc.
Yeah, like
it rewards you for thinking like a base raider.
Yeah, like you go, oh hey, here's this dude that's raiding a base. How about we go raid that base instead?
Yeah, no, that's fuck yeah. It. I mean, and again, that was the thing. Like that was a contrivance that Ross put in because he just wanted us to get to this one specific part that nobody else had tried.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, I like it.
It's got the usual, this is a problem you're just never going to get rid of with investigative stuff, is that, like, if, you know, this is a superhero game, right? Like, if someone were playing, like, a big dumb brick, you know, what would they be doing right now?
Equivalently at the moment, that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm fine with it, by the way, but it is worth
it's the problem with this is a scenario where where little to no fighting is going to happen, like down to the fact that the main subject of this scenario basically will not fight you.
Is a pacifist or a coward or both. Yeah,
or you know, yeah, I
will say a sizable amount of my not doing things is more than everyone else had it covered better. So, and again, not in complaint. That's actually just like, oh well, I guess I don't need to do anything.
That being said, I guess one of the other things that I thought of when I was kind of thinking to myself, I wish this were a little bit longer, was the street gang.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be cool to have to fight them.
Yeah, I mean, there's a
that'd be pretty cool.
There's a way to make it happen. Like you guys were pretty smart about how you followed Lucas, which is to say, for the most part, you followed him invisibly, because that was an option available to you. But the thing is, if Lucas realizes that you're onto him, he'll send the street gang to try and stop you. Like if he recognizes you and notices you.
All right.
I wish I was going to put taxing on that power. Now I kind of wish I had, because it feels a little too strong.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, we'll see how it goes in the second part of this. But like, yeah, for investigations, like you're a fucking hoss.
Well, I mean, as long as you don't ever have to interact with anything or...
Yeah, as long as you don't have to interact with anything and you're not, like, trying to spy on a wizard.
Yeah.
Like, this is... this is the thing, like, you had it pretty easy because this was a drug dealer. He has a power. He's not prepared for invisible ghost banshees.
And his power is logistics power.
I was more worried, like, when the guy ran to the car, I thought he was maybe going to go get some, like, I don't know, generic nullifying device number 345 or something like that.
He's a federal agent who's staking out a drug dealer. He's not from...
He's staking out a superpowered drug dealer, so I don't know. Or at least a dealer who's dealing in superpowers, as far as they know.
Yeah, like, so, but the thing is that the contact in the beginning gave you the list of drugs that the feds think he has, and so they don't... And so, like... Anything that he has could be, if it came down to it, like, they're not in any danger from any of the things he could be dealing with if he's sampling his own supply.
This is right. The case they send all the agents that are one day from retirement to work on.
I will also say there's a lot of handouts that you guys didn't get, but you went sort of off the rails from where the scenario went, and so I kind of tried to compensate for it. This is one of the things about prefabs. Like, you guys got two of the handouts, and there's like eight of them.
Wow. What other?
Well, one of the things the handouts th- the there thing is like the thing is that you were able to get most of the information from other ways. Or no, you guys got three of the handouts of the eight.
Okay.
Because let's see, there's some more, and the thing is that the only way you get the other handouts is to try and steal from the feds, which is why I mentioned that when you were checking out the car that there's a dossier and a camera and a laptop, because if you could set it up and you could get the agents and you could get the agents away from their car or something, somebody could steal that information. I had considered giving it to Kevin right off the bat for his like crazy search on federal cases and getting in touch, and your contact probably wouldn't give it to you because it would be a conflict of interest.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I mean, sorry if that skill turned out to be a little broken for an investigation.
Oh, no, it's
scenario.
Cool. Like, the first time I ran this, I was dealing with two people that had scientific genius, and so they had computers, technology, information, research, and there were two of them that had a superhuman tier. Like, the thing is, one of the things is that this scenario also went really fast because all you guys are very well equipped to get all of the clues.
Well, not only that, but, Like when I asked what tier I should have stuff at, you said, you know, probably you should have something at
Ascendant. I said there is a villain in this that has something at Ascendant tier.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, even superhuman, really, the very worst you can do against a mundane is to get a zero. So, I don't know, I feel like this part may...
There's a
given that you're gonna fight an ascendant tier enemy later on, this part is extremely mundane.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. That's the one thing I noticed when I was reading the two of these, that there's a massive like change in power tiers.
Discrepancy.
Because and they do say that you could try and make the FBI more competent. And more...
That's sick, because like, I would think breaking into FBI files would be at least an extraordinary task.
It is an extraordinary tier task to do that thing. But like, again, we're only talking extraordinary. And I mean, even low power characters can have superhuman.
I don't really know what context we were given that made it seem like we really really needed the FBI files anyways.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Like, you only need a couple of the handouts to get most of the clues. Like,
and the handouts were extremely useful.
Yeah.
But a lot if you read a lot of Canned Adventures, a lot of the handouts treat you like a kid. But these actually did have interesting, useful, and not too difficult to puzzle out information. I think they were written very well.
I'd agree with that. Definitely.
I can show you. I can share the rest of the handouts with you guys. Because at this point, you know pretty much all you need to wrap up Task Force Darknet.
Right.
So I could share those with you at another time, and you could give some specific feedback on what you think about the handouts as well. That would be a later time, because you know there's eight pages of handouts.
Yeah. Totes. I think the one note that I have thus far is the length of Task Force Darknet. I feel like for having characters be high powered, I feel like there need to be some contrivances to fight a whole gang or something. Like,
or maybe like a Schrodinger's difficulty thing. Like, for example, if you've got a bunch of Ascendant people, then it turns out that the leader of the gang has been taking mad car throwing drugs and is, you know, a challenge to you.
Exactly.
But if you're a bunch of low power guys, then he's just a big tough dude, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, no, that can totally be an idea, and that's one of the things. Like, it has things to scale up the minions and scale up all the adversaries, but it doesn't have anything to scale up how they notice you or that kind of stuff. Because if you come in line of the feds, they'll obviously extend their investigation to you. If you get on the wrong side of Lucas, he'll throw the gang at you. There could probably be something to say that the gang is around him or around him more often or something like that in other tiers, because as it stands, it's like he operates solo because he's a small time guy. Like, he operates solo. If he needs some muscle, he'll call in the gang.
Yeah, something like what Axe was saying would probably be a good idea. Would be a good suggestion to pitch.
Yeah, because
in the playtest notes,
that is definitely a thing that I I think other people had said it that if he's that he could be giving super soldier drugs to his guys as well. But there's no real detail of that.
Yeah, I mean, like me and Native actually talked about this for a fair length about the sort of weird lack of expectations given the tiers and what tiers your stuff should be at and how. And that's a problem in most other Supers games.
Yeah, I mean, it's
even fixes that problem by making the thing boring, so we don't want that one either. So, yeah, it's
Yeah, it's one of these. Well, yeah, and I guess that's an issue. And I mean, I'll present all this in my notes. If you guys want to write your own notes after this, notes just have to be in by December 3rd. So I'll write some notes about doing this. I think some of the complaints are probably things that are just going to happen in a prefab, but I do recognize the other complaints that, like, you know, you can't say, like, if the players can turn invisible and walk through Lucas's halls, then walk into Lucas's apartment, he'll do this, but you can.
Then he spread flour everywhere.
If the players can turn off the sun, then.
Then the end.
Yeah, then Lucas has flashlights.
That is a thing that Tad was saying about trying to write this was that he started writing everything in very general terms because there was a point where he started writing a scenario that's like, if the players have X-ray vision, then they can see this. If the players can walk through walls, then they can do this. If the players can teleport, then they can do this. If they can scry on locations, they can do this. And he's like, I'm literally going to be writing like 30 things for everything that can happen. I'm just going to say this is what this is.
Yeah.
So it's a thing you can't plan for every contingency, but there probably are some things that should be accounted for, since even at the low power, being able to walk through walls or turn invisible is a very viable option. And really the only downside that's supposed to happen, and this is a thing that I sort of ended up pushing in, is like, it expects you to go into Lucas's apartment, and when you get into Lucas's apartment, the feds are supposed to pull up, turn on the high beams, and tell you to surrender, and from there it's supposed to go to a chase scene or a fight scene if you know you want to get in trouble attacking federal agents.
If you want to straight up murder some G-men, then
yeah, if you want to piss off literally the entire government. It does say that if players want to fight the G-men, you should probably warn them that attacking federal agents is a very serious offense. So that's one of the things that, and it does have some ideas to change that. Like, you were talking about trying to meet up with Lucas to buy drugs from him. It does have a contingency that says if players want to meet up with drugs, this is how the scene goes instead.
Mm-hmm.
But it
might be reasonable for him to have more countermeasures that are unspecified, but
yeah. Yeah, it's a possibility. Although a person that can walk through walls and turn invisible is going to be ace in like any investigative thing. If you want to case a joint or stake a place out or tail somebody. Like, it's one of these things where a murder mystery is pretty easy to solve if someone's psychic.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's still things like, you know, it might not be entirely unreasonable.
I'm sorry, Max, what was that?
Sorry, my thing like that.
Okay. Kevin, what were you saying?
If it was a murder mystery, I could have done that. Just like,
oh, yeah, because you could have talked to ghosts.
Who did it? He hit me in the back. Damn it.
No, honestly, that's a...
Remember that Spirit of the Century game, that first the prefab that James ran?
I don't know which one.
The one where like all these important scientists were being offed.
Oh yeah, the first one, right, at the hunting lodge.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just reminded of that because I did the whole seance thing to talk to ghosts. They're like, "Well, who killed you?"
He was wearing
I don't
mask.
Know. I was turned around at the time. Damn it!
Yeah, I was like, "You're wearing a mask." Well, fine. We talked to the ghosts, but nobody has any helpful information.
All right, I'm gonna get some water, and when I get back, we could try and continue this. Unless you have some other comments. Sure. Although everything you say is being recorded and probably will be sent off to Ross.
That's fine. I mean, it might be reasonable, especially as he seems to be implied to be at least a smart character. That
if not smart, then at least paranoid.
Yeah, that he would have, you know, something that can detect invisible people or can detect ghosts or, you know, detect otherworldly or mystical influences. Even if it's just like a crystal that glows or something like that.
I mean, yeah, he could have gotten something else from the base.
Yeah, or he could have used some of the money he's gotten selling super soldier drugs to try and buy some other shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Magic security system, man. You leave. You leave your place. You turn on your magic security system.
Yeah.
If anyone else but you enters your place while the magic security system's on, something happens.
I don't gotta
explain it. It's magic.
Forget me. I'm trapped in a ward. This sucks. Yeah, I mean, not like devices that are tailor-made to exploit character weaknesses, but...
But yeah, something
I mean,
is...
everybody knows that there are super-powered entities acting here on
he
all sides.
He has a banshee detector? I want to find out what asshole made and sold this banshee detector so I can go fucking kill him.
Yeah, no, but I guess given the setting, and especially given that there's an angle... Because there's two angles this scenario can start off from. I went with the underground one because it made more sense given the player layout. The other one is that a rival super soldier drug dealer hires you on to run this guy out of town because he's edging in on his business. Elizabeth can give you some contacts, can give you a favor with the magical underground, or, you know, better reputation with the magical underground. The drug dealer can say, like, hey, the drug dealer knows about the base and says, I'm not going to go there myself, but if you're willing to cut me in on it, I can sell off all the stuff you get from the base at a better deal than you'd be able to get yourself.
Yeah.
Of course, given that there is somebody whose superpower is like business, and you have two people in the underground, and one of them strives for justice and wanted to be a cop, probably working for the drug dealer would not have been the best option for you guys.
Yeah, unless it was like some sort of double sting operation.
Yeah, so...
I mean, so that's probably what would have happened.
Yeah.
If we had done that, because like Matt was saying... Business Mantis has his one of his major powers is being the best at business. So being able to
offer you guys something, being able to offer you guys intangibles is a really good thing for that, because even the team that is tailor made to have one of the leads for this suck still works pretty well for the other lead. And I think also the other thing is the thing from Elizabeth saying that I'm afraid this guy will start selling to people in the underground. Probably if he's dealing with the underground, he probably could have bought some kind of like cheap ward that says like, if another soul is detected in this house or something, then like it turns blue or it makes a noise.
Yeah.
It's distinctly possible. Kevin, I was gonna say, if Ben had gone the working for a drug dealer route, it would have just devolved into you and I ripping that drug dealer off.
Yeah.
Because he would have been like, I can sell all this stuff back better than you could, and then Business Mantis would be like, oh really now? You haughty prick.
Yeah, no, Professor White is 100% motivated by profit. In the games that he's actually played in, like, his only reason for not killing henchmen is because they're more hands to take loot out of bases with. It was actually Professor White that freed Sparkles the Unicorn.
Oh.
Because he didn't know what Sparkles was. Just like, oh, there's a horse. I can put more things on that. And then Sparkles came out and gored him.
Is White the drug
Professor
dealer?
White is the drug dealer, yeah.
Okay.
That's actually his archetype aspect, this super-powered super soldier drug dealer. All right, I'm going to grab some water, and then we can do more shit when we get back.
All right, sounds good. So Kevin.
Yeah.
Is Blue Line, is he cool with selling super soldier drugs to superheroes?
Possibly. I mean, he uses super soldier drugs himself.
Yeah, I've been thinking ever since, because the game kind of got started quickly after I was like trying to figure out what our crossover would have been, and I am hard pressed to think of a crossover.
That's almost for me too.
Between the fucking layabout punk rock banshee and this like basically underground superhero.
To be fair, technically it doesn't have to be with the remaining people. You can do it with people who already phrased theirs as a different one.
Yeah. But even still, actually, my character is definitely the odd one out in the party, I think.
Not really. I mean, so like,
He's relatively mundane as the party goes.
Okay. That, yeah, he is relatively mundane as far as the party goes, but he does have a thing that is incredibly powerful either way.
Yeah.
It's a mundane source for that power, but it's incredibly powerful. I thought you meant thematically. I was like, no, like morally and etc. He's not out of place.
Yeah.
For instance, Business Mantis wouldn't actually be okay selling super soldier drugs to, like, regular people.
Yeah.
The biggest reason that Vajra doesn't want the other girl to have it is the fact that he didn't give her any of the fucking procedure, and she's just wrap a towel around your head and keep some orange juice on hand to take with it. What? No, that's terrible. There we
go. All right, I'm back. And yeah, one of the other things was, if you guys went into Rebecca's apartment when she wasn't there, the evidence you could find that she was on Arnold is that you could find some bloody towels in her laundry hamper.
Oh.
There's also a listing of how much her apartment is worth if you decide to loot it.
What?
Of all the things to do.
Some people are terrible people.
I guess.
Because
I mean, she did have $5,000 to blow on super soldier drugs with no real purpose.
The thing it says about Rebecca is that she's independently wealthy. She works part time as a bartender because she likes doing it.
Okay,
or she's that was why I said, like, my dad, he owns Target. She's got like a trust fund and shit. Like, she doesn't need money, and she has her apartment. Actually, you didn't really do a detailed search of it because you just went in to talk to her. But let me see. She has she actually has actual magic books, base components, and some robot parts. And if you loot her apartment, she's got about 24 loot points of stuff. And also 2 loot points of illegal drugs.
her motivations are not clear at all. Like, who the hell just, like, kind of randomly picks up a drug that makes your eyes bleed? Like, you know, obviously some people, if you've got it in mind for a purpose, that'd be different. I just can't imagine it ever, like, pursuing a hobby or something for fun that makes my eyes bleed.
Well, I got the impression from the Agora ad that they don't tell you that when you buy them.
Yeah, it's also a thing where I believe.
But she's also in the middle of the course and still going, though.
Yeah, well, the other thing is that the eyes bleed while it's being administered, and I believe the implication is that you have all that really shitty stuff, like. Because the main reason she was holding her head and looking away from the screen is because the other main thing is that it gives you really, really bad headaches while you're taking it. The eye bleeding thing isn't as long term.
Yeah.
But the headaches last longer, and basically, like, it says that if players talk to her, they'll notice that if they go to her while she's not there, then they can find the bloody towels. If they talk to her, they can notice that she has a bad headache and if they go into a certain direction of conversation, I think implying that's like, oh, like, well, what do you feel when you're on the drug? And it's like, it just sucks. And she'll talk about how she's taking ibuprofen to deal with it, basically. Or taking over-the-counter painkillers.
Okay. Should be careful. Ibuprofen makes you bleed, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, it just says she's using over-the-counter painkillers.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no. It probably wouldn't be good to use a vasodilator.
Use aspirin or...
Yeah. And I guess, yeah. And also, I guess if you search her bathroom, she has a very large bottle of painkillers in the bathroom. And yeah, Business Mantis was able to talk to her pretty, it says if she talked to her nicely, so Business Mantis fucking +8 on that, like, she was willing to spill, like, she doesn't care.
Yeah.
Also you can raid her apartment while she's there, but she won't really try and stop, or she won't really try and stop you, though she might call her friends, because she won't call the police, because she's got a bunch of illegal drugs in her apartment. Or most of the stuff in her apartment is, in fact, illegal.
Yeah, but hey, in this universe, marijuana is probably legalized because it's not worth even looking at anymore with all this other crap going on.
Yeah, I know. Totally true.
And then Ham will have to listen to insufferable, like, war on powers or war on super drugs.
That probably happens a lot.
Things all the time.
That probably happens a lot. Or, you know, there's the ads that's like, you know, that show a malformed mutant. It's like, I took super soldier drugs, and now my life, every moment of my life is agony. And it's like, super soldier drugs, not even once.
Yeah, hashtag not even once. On the other hand, elections, that would be a lot cooler.
what is your stand on super soldier drugs? If I am elected, I will stop at nothing to stop these to keep these mutants off our streets,
because I really want them for myself.
Anytime a politician says he's against powers, like, three supervillains break down the debate hall, break down the door and wreck things.
Turns out those are actually superheroes who just want to keep their powers.
Yeah.
And well, clearly you need us still.
And if I am elected, I swear on this day I will enact the famed Keen Act. And then, like, fucking a dozen superheroes dressed as supervillains just break the doors down.
Yeah, no. Well, then also his opponent, Mike Hagar, says, if I'm elected, I will remove super soldier drugs from the streets by myself.
Double lariat, hell yeah. I'm going for him.
Yeah, as he rips his shirt off and, like, lifts a barrel above his head.
With a fucking steel pipe into the dick.
The only president you elected by unanimous vote.
My fellow Americans, I have to tell to you, ISIS has committed a great atrocity this day, and I will not stop until I have hunted every last one of them down myself. Puts a knife between his teeth and walks off camera.
Puts a knife between his teeth and leaps off camera.
Yeah. leaps out the back window of the Oval Office.
There goes
my God's own prototypes.
pan over to a beach in Virginia. You just see him dive into the water, and you don't see him again.
Ultimately, what was that Japanese game about being
Metal
the
Wolf
president
Chaos?
In a Gundam suit? Yeah.
Yes. You say you don't see him again, but until you actually see him again about half a year later, just walking back out of the ocean. just like a fucking brace of skulls in his hand.
Carrying the severed head of the leader of ISIS.
I don't know if we still have pikes, but get one.
I need two things. A cheeseburger and a press conference.
The man just salutes in response and tries.
Somewhere in the distance, an eagle sheds a single tear.
It salutes with its wing. Just falls out of the sky because it had to stop flapping.
Oh, man.
This is the America that I want. But anyway, let's
talk about speaking of building boats.
I'm not going to build a boat. I'm just going to buy one.
Yeah, well.
What are you talking about?
It was somewhat germane. Jeez.
Matthew. Jeez. Louise.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you doing bringing Louise into this?
I felt it necessary.
That's not cool. She had nothing to do. She didn't do anything wrong.
I felt it necessary, Max. I took that executive decision. And as president of the United Goddamn States of America, you were going to respect that.
I'll be so glad when Hagar's term of office comes into play.
President Hagar. We need to get into the boiling point section of Boiling Point.
Just imagining him walking into the White House, picking you up by the scruff of your shirt and dropping you out a window.
Your term is finished.
it's not excessively aggressive, but he doesn't need to be.
Your term is finished. Impeachment procedures begin now.
It's just super casual. Just, there you go.
It turns out, tragically, no one explained to Mike Hagar the idea of the lame duck period of office. So November, he's just like, oh, I win now. I'm going to go get in the Oval Office. Like, no, President. There's like 2 more months left.
Yes, 2 more months for me to keep moving my things in.
That's why all these trophies up, you see.
The White House is just filled with trophies and steel pipes.
And just random hams on the ground. Which Hagar eats in a single bite.
He just unhinges his jaw like a snake.
That's quite enough of that, thank you.
Why do I need to chew when I can Larry it into me?
Okay. One second, I need to also refresh myself on this. I've read this a couple of times, but okay. Alright, yeah. I know how to continue this. I had to find the thing.
Did you find the thing? Was there some stuff there too?
Yeah, there was a stuff in the thing. Alright, so
someday, Matt, I will find a way for you to actually hear where that joke comes from.
I have the file.
I will have Max send it to you so that you get the context of it.
I hate everyone.
Sure.
Just crossing my fingers, no one ever figures out my verbal tics.
It wasn't even a verbal tic. It was just the most...
It was one context. The other one was a verbal tic, which got fixed, but is still like the bane of my existence.
Yeah, this one wasn't even a verbal tic. It was just like...
A single slip-up because someone messaged me at a time, at an opportune time.
And it was great, because it was like the most, like, non-committal description of something.
After all the committal descriptions of things.
Yeah, like you had, like, this long, in-depth description of stuff, and then there is a pause, and you're like, there's some villagers down there doing some stuff and things.
I believe what?
All right. So Kevin needs to be done in like soon.
Okay.
So
if we want to, we go for a little while longer. I just point out that it's been an hour since we decided on one more hour.
All right. Yeah. Whenever everybody's ready, we can pick it up again.
Yeah. I'm ready.
I'm good.
Okay.